Hi, I'm Nick Martin, site editor for Search Server Virtualization, and you're listening to the This Week in Virtualization podcast. This week, I have senior news writer Beth Pariseau joining me.
Hi.
And also Ryan Lanigan, the assistant site editor for Search Server Virtualization.
Hello.
Thanks for joining me here, guys. It's a pleasure to have you. So this week is going to be all about AWS and VMware and the cloud space. So I want to jump right in with our first question. And Beth, earlier this month, Amazon announced the AWS Management Portal for vCenter. And as I understand it, the plugin basically gives customers the ability to manage EC2 instances through the vCenter Management Console. So what exactly does the Management Portal do, and what are the limitations with it?
Well, it also allows single sign-on, thanks to integration with Active Directory, which is always convenient, and role-based access control, so IT managers can delegate certain management tasks, like restarting a virtual machine. But in Amazon's own words, in the user guide limitations, it's not a comprehensive tool for creating and managing AWS resources. They can create a virtual private cloud and subnet and other basic tasks, but for more advanced tasks, they have to use the AWS Management Console or command line interface. The tool is a plugin for vCenter based on the VMware API, and it hooks into the AWS VM import and export tool. So when you right-click on a virtual machine in the main vCenter screen, one of the options that comes up on the drop-down menu is migrate to EC2.
All right, and you had mentioned that, you know, it's not really a comprehensive tool for managing AWS workloads, but can we look at this as Amazon kind of putting VMware on notice that it intends to kind of win over some of their customers, or even maybe try to convince them to try AWS over their vCloud hybrid service?
Well, it's hard not to see it as a jab at VMware on some levels. It's definitely reaching into their management interface and inviting people to migrate to EC2, which obviously would be a competitive move with VMware's vCHS. VMware would say that vCHS allows more hybrid cloud functionality, such as bidirectional migration of VMs between on-premise and vCHS. The AWS tool goes one way. It's hard not to see it as, like I said, it's hard not to see it as a competitive move with VMware. It definitely invites users through the main management interface to migrate their VMs to EC2 rather than vCHS. But unlike vCHS, the VMware plugin from Amazon doesn't allow for ongoing management in the cloud.
Yeah, so we talked about this a little bit earlier when we were just chatting about the podcast, and we brought up the fact that, you know, maybe this is just sort of like the first step for what Amazon has in mind for managing instances through a familiar vCenter plugin. Maybe they've got plans to do something, really make it a robust interface through vCenter. But then again, maybe that's not really what they're going for. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's a lot of functionality that's exposed through the VMware API. There are definitely a lot of tools out there that integrate tightly with vCenter. It's not impossible that AWS might try to expand its integration, but it also wouldn't surprise me if this is as far as they go.
Yeah. So recently, I saw that Gartner released its 2014 Magic Quadrant for IaaS, Infrastructure as a Service, for those not up with the lingo. and as you'd expect, they have Amazon Web Services standing head and shoulders above the rest of the field, and Azure is really the only competitor in the Leaders Quadrant. And I was surprised to see VMware's vCHS all the way down in the Niche Players Quadrant, way on the bottom left with company like HP and Fujitsu, actually. So do you think there's anything to read from this? Or is it simply that vCH is such a new offering that hasn't really had time to gain ground yet?
I think it's interesting when you consider it in the context of the vCenter tool. Why AWS would focus on a quote-unquote niche player when it has other players in its closer in its rearview mirror like Azure is kind of mysterious. So I think VMware is the leader in legacy IT enterprise infrastructure. I think they have tremendous mind share and market share in server virtualization still. And that might make them a target for AWS in itself. But AWS's lead is huge. VMware doesn't have the same first mover advantage in this market that Amazon does.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, let's before we jump to the next question, let's dig in a little more about that quadrant. Were you surprised that you know, Azure is the only leading, or I guess the only one joining AWS in the leader quadrant?
I'm a little surprised Google wasn't ranked higher.
Yeah.
From people I've talked to, they feel Google is the most analogous to AWS because Google operates its own web scale infrastructure like Amazon does.
Yeah.
And thus would have expertise in programmatically managing hardware, et cetera. And also obviously has some great developers on its staff. So I was a little bit surprised not to see them in there. But I'm not surprised by the distance between them and VMware at all.
Mm, yeah.
Now, you had mentioned earlier that, you know, this was a little bit of a jab from Amazon at VMware, and it got a lot of attention, whether it be when it came out. Maybe it was a little bit overblown. But kind of quietly, they're also going after Azure, and they're trying to win over more enterprise workloads, specifically SQL Server.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of explain what they're offering there?
Sure. They're offering SQL Server mirroring among multiple availability zones. Which is important because it's only something that Microsoft has published a workaround for very recently. it simplifies what would have taken dozens of steps to set up SQL Server mirroring in the Elastic Compute Cloud. It's a one-click option that provides multiple availability zone failover for disaster recovery. It also attaches the SQL Server instance to an Elastic Block Store with provisioned IOPS for better performance than standard storage.
So we've seen that Amazon is definitely the leader in this space, and in fact they're going after even more market share. And part of their strategy is to show that Amazon is the most cost effective option for your enterprise IT. And one of the things they're doing is they have a TCO calculator, total cost of ownership calculator, that, shall we say, has some faults. and maybe that's not completely their fault. But Beth, you wrote an article recently about that fact, and that the TCO calculator probably shouldn't always come up having Amazon the cheapest option. What did you find, and what are they saying?
Well, I can't say that I've, comprehensively tested the TCO calculator. There may be cases where it comes up with Amazon more expensive, but neither I or the analysts I spoke with had been able to get the tool to do that yet. And, any TCO calculator that compares on-premise infrastructure to the cloud is going to have some difficulties. It's actually extremely, extremely hard to do this calculation. Analyst firms like Gartner have very long, involved spreadsheets that account for a number of variables. For something that you fill out on a web form online, the AWS TCO calculator is pretty advanced. They also have another tool called the Simple Calculator, which has a few more details factored in, like elastic IPs and load balancing, that kind of thing. So the assumption is that the TCO calculator is only its first incarnation, and will be improved over time. But the fact of the matter is that doing this analysis is not trivial for anybody.
You had mentioned it being so extremely hard and all the spreadsheets involved. So what kind of approach should a business take with this?
Well, like I said, calculating total cost of ownership between on-premise and cloud infrastructure is kind of like nailing Jell-O to a wall. It's very difficult to pin down. But this is a great place to start for CTOs and CIOs that are looking into moving to the cloud. It's a tool that can be taken and adjusted according to different assumptions that an enterprise might make that don't correspond with the assumptions Amazon makes. It's basically a starting off point for a conversation with an analyst firm or a consultant if needed, or just for the CIO or CTO to do their own calculations.
Yeah, and you know, obviously that's something that you know, business leaders will have to sit down and you know try to work out on their own accord, because you know everyone's infrastructure is different. I want to switch gears just a little bit. So I wrote a column recently for the July issue of the Modern Infrastructure magazine, and I wrote basically that VMware is at a bit of a crossroads and they're facing some serious competition in the end user and enterprise mobility market from you know the likes of Citrix, which we actually talked about in our last podcast. So they're at the point now where they're still dominating the server virtualization market, but there's not a whole lot of room left for them to grow. You know, they're even saying publicly that you know cloud is where they need to be, and so you know even where I guess where does that leave them now? You know, at least in Gartner's opinion, they're still very clearly lagging behind, and there's a tough road ahead of them. And they you know they simply can't sit back and watch their vSphere workloads all move to someone else's cloud. What are your? Do you have any thoughts on like where they should be headed?
Yes, one of the key projects for VCHS has been not just the ability to offer infrastructure as a service, but the ability to offer things like desktop as a service, DR as a service. I think the more secondary, higher level services they can build on top of VCHS, the better. Amazon definitely. Has plenty of things like the relational database service, for example, for which there's no VCHS equivalent that I'm aware of. And VMware knows this. VMware knows that they have a long way to go. Everyone has a long way to go to match Amazon.
Yeah, well, they certainly got their work cut out for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One last time, I want to thank Senior Newswriter Beth Pariseau.
Thank you for having me.
And Assistant Site Editor Ryan Lanigan.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
I'm Nick Martin for Search Server Virtualization, and thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, you can subscribe to the This Week in Virtualization podcast through iTunes. Join us next episode, where we'll dig into the Project Mystic rumors and talk about what we expect to see at the upcoming VMworld conference in San Francisco.